Anybody who remains behind in Dili, they will be killed. Houses will be burned. If East Timor is to be independent, it will have nothing. It will be starting from scratch.
If the Australian government is listening, do you have a message for them?
Get some help quick.
20 years on, ABC Radio Darwin remembers Timor-Leste's struggle for independence.
I was excited when Habibie declared that he was offering Timor a referendum, and I followed the politics of 5th of May where they were discussing the conditions for the referendum. So I was excited that finally Timor was going to vote. I was concerned that the Indonesian military campaign was very strong, and months before they had already started to massacre people and intimidating people. I heard from some journalists that they wanted to go to Timor, and so we started to find ways to smuggle ourselves into the country as well. We were all blacklisted here in Darwin, so we had to change our names by DIPOL and acquire different names and then go through Indonesia, through different parts of Indonesia.
Spies.
I guess so. Yes, we had to find our ways there. It was important that we could be on the ground to help people understand the vote and to really make them see that this was a real thing and it was important that everybody voted and registered to vote.
Going to East Timor under that circumstance to encourage people to vote, you know, you must have felt some threat from the Indonesian authorities.
Yes, I was terrified. We could see what was happening and having to constantly move. Because I was new in the area, I didn't know also who was who, even though they were Timorese, so I had to make sure that the places I went was really safe. During the results, Timor was getting devastated. Veronica comes from an area, Suai, where a big massacre had taken place. Mm-hmm. We were in contact with relatives there, and they were asking for help. They were screaming, and we didn't have ways to support. So what we did was we all gathered in and we started protest, calling for the Australian government to send troops in. We also knew that there was some American soldiers from the Pacific with American ships docked at the port. And yet they didn't do anything. So a lot of protesters went there and protested.
A campaign of intimidation by the militia throughout the countryside without peacekeepers, the country, if it isn't already a bloodbath, will certainly turn into one.
It was a desperate situation where we could hear cries. We could contact our families there, especially us who had been there to help with the referendum. And we set up, we left phones there, we left means there for them to contact us. We could get mobile phones and we could hear their cries for help. There were people being attacked, the people in the church. Some of them, our relatives, they were crying. We could hear people crying. We could hear gunshots. And one of our families were telling us that they'd been shot at and that the priest had been killed and they didn't know what was happening outside the church.
One estimate suggests 350,000 East Timorese have been driven from their homes.
Nobody can defend the people at this point except if international peacekeeping troops come in.
Shattered, psychologically enormously damaged, uncertain where their families were.
And international peacekeeping force has only now become possible.
Just hours after arriving in Dili, Australian troops have started to disarm East Timor's pro-Indonesia militia.
Australian officers expect another 1,300 troops to join the 1,000 already in East Timor today as the multinational force continues to grow.
East Timorese independence leader Shanana Gusmao spoke to the Australian media in Darwin today.
My people was killed And now the East Timorese people is dying for starvation.
We will have many difficulties, not only to rebuild everything, but to prepare ourselves to heal many, many wounds.
Have we learned any lessons now that you reflect back on it?
If we had to do it again, I think we would, yes, do it all over again. Had I known what I know today, maybe I would have pushed more in terms of politics, in terms of political Australian political parties. But at the time it was difficult because the Australian consecutive government stand on Timor wasn't very great. We did have, and I'm so grateful for, to have met some of the second commandos who encouraged us to continue and was behind us. And of course, the Australian friends that we made here, and they were very strong. Of course, at the back of our mind, being young and being new to Australia, being new to Darwin, Darwin had just gone through the cyclone, and if Darwin was Australia, then I wanted to go back home. You know, Darwin was devastated, was destroyed. And so any young person who decided to leave here was a major step. But being close to home, being able to partake in the campaigns and to support the struggle for a nation, for a country, it was very important.
The future is bright for East Timor?
I think so, yes. I have hope. Many things have been done, but there is a lot more to be done. But, you know, we only been independent 20 years. So I think the next 20 years are going to be much better.
Veronica, Darwin is your home now. How do you reflect on living here for the last couple of decades?
I came to live in somebody else's country and they have accepted me. I'm happy for that. But in another side, I'm sad. My heart is wounded, you know, is hurt. I found that even though the Indonesians have left Timor, I still find that there is a strong force back there. We're not truly free. All I ask is that in the country, the people get what they deserve and they can live a better life, a happier life.
ABC Radio Darwin.